Father, we bow in your presence. We thank you that we serve the living God, one God, that reveals himself to us in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're so mindful of your character. We're mindful of your wisdom, your grace, your mercy to us. And I'm so grateful for this group. I'm grateful for their faithfulness. I'm grateful for their prayer life. I'm grateful for their interaction with us, with Chris, and just thank you for giving us this ministry. We give you all the glory, all the praise, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now we've come down to, we've got Laban, and we've got Jacob, and they're kind of having it out. Jacob is wanting to go home. He's got Rachel and Leah, and he's got all his family, and he wants to leave Laban now and go back home. That's a reasonable request. And so 30, and we look at verse 25, it says, "And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban," now watch, "send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my own country." Laban's not going to try. He don't want to do that. Here's something I want you to know about Jacob. He knows husbandry. Do you know what that means? He knows how to mix and match animals to get, he knows animals and how to mix and match them and get what he's after, whether they be goats, sheep, camels, donkeys, mules. He's good at what he does. Laban suspects that. He suspects that Jacob is pretty good at that. He's been watching him. And so he doesn't want to lose Jacob for that reason, and he said, "So send me away." And look in verse 26. "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, now here's the old deceiver, he's got to find a way to hang on to his bread maker, to hang on to the one who's making him a living, to find a way to hang on to Jacob. So he says in verse 27, "Please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." That's a compliment. But there's a lot built into that compliment. And I want you to see that. Because of the two, this is my opinion, Laban is the worst deceiver. Because Laban is not a believer. Jacob is a deceiver, but he's a believer. That means that Christians are not sinless people. We're still sinners. I'm still a sinner. And I love that term, homologeo, confession. If we agree with God that what we've done, what we thought, what we said is sin, immediately we're cleansed. We just, all we have to do is think it. We don't have to get on our knees and cry out to God to forgiveness. For forgiveness, we can just, as we go, when the Holy Spirit said you shouldn't have said that, we just agree, "Lord, you're right. You shouldn't have thought that. Lord, you're right." That's confession. And that's walking with the Spirit. That's a good thing to have. Verse 28. Then he said, "Name me your wages and I will give it." Laban's a pretty sharp guy. So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. You know my abilities with livestock. You know my abilities. I'm in Genesis chapter 30, verse 30. You know my abilities, how I have been with the animals. You know what I can do. And when I came here, you had little. Now it's increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when shall I also provide for my own house? That's a reasonable request, isn't it? It really is. Time for me to go, is what Jacob is saying to Laban. Time for me to take my wife, my children, and go back to my home. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. Now watch this. You got to see this. Now this is Jacob speaking. If you will do this thing for me, then I will again feed and keep your flocks. Now he's about to trick him. Now I'm not talking about Laban now. I'm talking about Jacob. Jacob's going to pull a good one here. He says, let me pass through your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep. Now, sheep are normally white. Goats are black. Now, if they come out spotted, they're not pure. They're not mixed and matched right. So what you want, sheep to be white, you want goats to be black. That's the deal. He says, all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. In other words, you give me the impure breed, you take the pure breed. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It does. Sounds great. That's a good offer. So, look in verse 33. So my righteousness will answer for me in that time to come. When the subject of my wages comes up before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it's with me. That makes sense. In other words, he said, that's all I want. I don't want your white sheep or your black goats. Just give me those off-breed. Now here's where Jacob comes in. He knows how to make that happen. Do you get what I'm saying here? He knows how to do it. But how he does it is deceitful. He knows how to make it happen. And so all Laban wants is that pure white sheep and those black goats. And so in verse 34, and Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. That's what we call a Hebrew idiomatic expression, meaning, man, you've given me a great deal. I'll take it. It's hard to say that Hebrew idiomatic expression. An idiom is just a way, it's a prophet's talk. It's the way they communicated back then. That's what it is. And Laban said, let it be according to your word. That'll be your wages. Verse 34. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now what Laban is doing is dividing. And they're going to move a long way away from each other. So there can be no mixture, no mistakes. And so he gave all those into the hands of his sons. And now, so Jacob is starting with the off-breeds. He's starting with the speckled ones. He's starting with the not white sheep, the not black goats. He's starting with those soft breeds. And that's just like Laban. Laban's saying, you think you can do this? Go at it. Move a long way away and make it happen. That's what's going on. Now, look at verse 37. Now Jacob took for himself, now here's the deception. Watch this. Think about paganism and how paganism works. They got all kinds of incantations. If you know anything about paganism, they've got all kinds of, I used to call them when I was growing up, spooky dust. Ways to make things happen in the wizard world, and ways to do stuff, and Jacob is going to pull a good one. Jacob is God's man, and he knows Jehovah God, but he's going to pull a good one on Laban. He's going to make Laban think that he's doing all of this by spooky dust. Now watch what happens. In verse 36, he put 3 days' journey between he himself and Jacob. Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now look in verse 37. Now Jacob took for himself rods. Here it comes. Rods of green poplar. Now I want you to think about that. That means absolutely what? Nothing. but Laban doesn't know that. See, Jacob's sharp. He's sharp. He's going to pull a little spooky dust trick here. And he's going to be using his husbandry. He's going to be using his talent, his gifts from God. God's blessed him. He knows how to mix and match them. But he's going to be using some little trickery here. And you know, sometimes I think we as believers worship a genie god. Let me explain that. Sometimes we feel like God is that little genie in the bottle. So when we need him, what do? We go and rub the lamp, right? Now what happens after he's through meeting our needs?
He goes back
into the bottle. How long does he stay in there? Tell him we need him again, okay? We do that, don't we? I do it. I'm guilty. I do the same thing. You know, I pretty much live my own life until crisis comes. Then I rub the lamp. Say, God, help me. Get me out of this one. Okay? We all do that. But that's kind of what Jacob is doing here. He says, rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peel white strips in them and expose the white which was in the rods. Now, like I said, he's mixing a little paganism with this. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came and drink. Now here's what he's doing. He's manipulating the flock. Like I said, those little branches he's cutting off and all that, peeling that stuff off, means absolutely zilch. He's just using the talent that God has given him. He didn't want Laban to know that. He's deceiving Laban. Sometimes I wonder, as I read through this, who's the greatest deceiver? Is it Jacob or is it Laban? And you know, those of us as believers, we are sinful. And sometimes we do things like that. We do. I do. I confess I do. But God, the Holy Spirit, has a way of taking me to the woodshed. Do you know what I mean by that? He takes me to the woodshed. And he lets me know that's not the way you do it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if we endure chastening as a good son, if we endure it, because we're going to be chastened when we can't get away with it. Remember that righteousness and justice thing? We can never get away with it as believers. We think we can. We think we can hide our sin from God. But God says that righteousness and justice has to always be balanced in us. We can never sin and get away with it. I would love to just shout that on the tape, because that's true. We can never hide from our sin. God said, be sure your sin will what?
Find you out.
It will. And you can't get away. God's a holy God, and he means what he says. So, he manipulated the flock, is what I'm telling you here. But he's doing it with all this spooky dust stuff. And look at verse 39. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Now, those are Jacob's. That's what he wanted. He wanted those. But who was giving them to him? God was giving them to him. God was behind this. God was using Jacob's husbandry to make it happen. That's what I want you to see. God was blessing him. God promised, I'm going to bless you, Jacob. But he's fooling Laban, thinking it was the branches and all the other things going on here. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the street. I love this. And all the brown in the flock of Laban, but he put his own flocks by themselves, and he did not put them with Laban's flock. In other words, he's mixing and matching them according to husbandry. He's practicing now the science of husbandry. He knows about what's going to happen. He knows that there's going to be more spotted and speckled born than there is going to be those purebred. You know why he's going to make that happen? Because they're going to be his. And they're going to be in better shape, as it turns out, than the pure white ones and the pure black ones. They're going to be in better shape. And it's Laban's sons who figures this out. It's going over his head. But not over his sons' heads. They're watching Jacob. They know Jacob's up to something, doing something. And they're going to tell Laban in just a minute, his flocks are better than our flocks. And Laban says, well, they're speckled and spotted. They said, that doesn't make a difference. They're better breed. They're better. So, here we go. And it came to pass, verse 41, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock. I love this. Sometimes I laugh at that and I say, boy, that's really doing it in the gutters, and that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, watch this, and the stronger were Jacob's. He is practicing husbandry. He's breeding on purpose, but he's hiding it from Laban. The whole moral of it, in case I go a little bit over, is that he's going to get wealthy doing this. Laban's going to start losing, and Jacob is going to start winning. But the whole bottom line is, God is blessing Jacob. He's not blessing Laban. Because Laban has really treated Jacob horribly. We're going to see that in just a moment. Look at verse 43. Well, let's read 42 again. And when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. That's obvious. Underline that verse. The feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. And the animals were being divided, but not according to that spooky death stuff, because of Jacob's. That's a gift. Verse 43. Thus the man became exceedingly, this is talking about Jacob, exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Right under Laban's nose, his whole flock is starting to just blossom. I'm thinking, like I said, Laban really didn't get it. But his sons got it. His sons, and sometimes I say the teenagers will tell you what's really happening in a local church. You want to know what's happening in a local church? Know who's doing what? You want to know really who's doing what? Go to the teenagers. they know. They know. They know what's happening. Linda and I worked with teenagers for 30 years. That's one thing I found out about them. So here's the, now look at verse 31, chapter 31. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons. Now watch this. Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what our father's he has acquired all this wealth. Translation, Jacob is stealing you blind. But again, what I want you to realize is he's not using spooky dust. He's using good old common sense husbandry. He knows what animals to mate with animals to get the animal he's looking for. Okay? And the animals he's looking for were the spotted. You know, he didn't want the pure white ones or the pure black ones because they were going to go to Laban, but they were stronger animals than the pure white and black. Now look in verse 2. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable before him. When his sons told him that, what did he do? He got mad. Would you? Yeah. Jacob is up to something. He's deceiving me. He's tricking me. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Now that's the Jehovah God speaking. Jehovah God said to Jacob, go home. And I'm going to bless you. Go home. But that's not going to be as easy as it sounds, as it turns out. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance. That means he was kind of giving him that look. You know what that look is? You know, when somebody's upset with you, and you don't have to say a word. You just know. You see it in their eyes. You read their body language. He knew Laban wasn't happy with him. Something's up. I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me. Now he's talking to Rachel and Leah here, his wives. That it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. I've given him everything I had to make him wealthy. In other words, I've used my husbandry on his behalf, and I've increased his flocks, and I have done it until they made that little deal. When they made that little deal, things changed. You know, that speckled and spotted, and that's when things changed. That's when Jacob said, okay, that's what that's a deal. That's good. And he says, you know how long I've served your father, verse 6, look in verse 7. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Now, what do you think he'd change his wages up or what? Down. Paid him less. Paid him less. Expected more, but paid him less. You ever been in that situation? He sees that changing the wages 10 times. Watch this. But God did not allow him to hurt me. And he could have. Laban was a specimen. He was one of those old, rough sheep farmers, herders. He was a specimen. Now that means he was a strong, powerful man. And Jacob, remember, he was kind of a mama's boy. Remember back? Unlike Esau, he was a mama's boy. And he, you know, conflict wasn't in his, that wasn't something he wanted to get involved in. So here's what happens. Now watch. But God did not allow him to hurt me. Look at verse 8. If he said, thus the speckle shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said, thus the streak shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. He's just telling the truth. Now, what he didn't say is, I made it happen. Now, of course, God made it happen, but he made it happen with the husbandry. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. See that? That's what's happened. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived, that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks and were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Now look in verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord spoke in a dream to me, saying, now this really happened. Jacob, he said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. In other words, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a lot of streaked and spotted. I'm going to overwhelm you with those animals. And then Laban's going to go backwards and backwards on the white ones and the black goats. He's going backwards. But Jacob is going to go forward. Now that came as a direct blessing from the living God, Jehovah God. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. That's exactly what's happening here. He's blessing him. Look in verse 13. I am the God of Bethel. Remember, the Bethel is the house of God. Beit El. Beit means house in Hebrew. P-E-T-H. El is God. So Bethel is the house of God. That's where Jacob lived. That's where he slept on that rock that time, you remember? That soft pillow. And they saw that ladder with those angels descending up and down. And Jesus said, that's God coming down to the earth. That's Bethel. That became his home. Okay? I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar. That's exactly what we just said. And where you made a vow to me, now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion of the inheritance for us in our father's house? They had a custom that when a woman left the home, she left with a dowry. That's exactly right. If you remember that John Wayne movie, the Quiet Man? She didn't get her dowry. John Wayne's a favorite of mine. If you read my post on Facebook, I like John Wayne. I've always liked him very much. Like, he's just my man. I can watch him and watch him and watch him and watch him. But the Quiet Man, that, remember, she didn't get her dowry. And that was the whole deal, turned out to be. But Rachel and Leah saying, we can't leave without our dowry. Is there still any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours. And our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. Now watch this. And he carried away all the livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained at Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac to the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen, now watch this, this kind of happened off on the side. Rachel had stolen the household idols. Remember, there's a point in time when they worshipped idols, the teraphim. That's what they were called, the teraphim. Pagan idols. And they were very valuable. Now, she knew they didn't mean anything as far as God's concerned, but they were extremely valuable, money-wise. So she wanted her dowry. So she took those seraphim as her dowry. She knew what they were worth. Idols that were her father's. They belonged to him. And Jacob stole away. Watch this. He sneaks away. And when he says it stole away, he sneaks away. Unknown to Laban. He kind of leaves without telling him. Didn't want to make the old man mad. and the Syrian, and he did not tell him that he intended to flee. He didn't say anything. He stole away in the night. He got his family together. They got their packs together. They headed out. They didn't even stop to say goodbye to old Laban. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river, that's the Euphrates, and headed towards the mountains of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian, I love that, in a dream by night and said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good or evil. Hush, and don't you dare hurt him." That's what he's saying. Hush. Don't go up to him and throw a temper tantrum and fly into him and beat him. Don't do that. Don't do that. So Laban overtook Jacob now, and Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched his tents in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What in the world have you done?" Now that's my translation. I think your translation says, "What have you done? That you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives, taken with the sword. Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs and with timbrel and harp." And I would say, as the old Southerner would say, "Oh bosh." "Laban, you old crook, you wouldn't have done that." But it sounds good. Sounds good. "And you did not even allow to," in verse 28, "to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing." Now look in verse 29. "It is in my power to do harm, but the Lord of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good or bad. Don't lay a hand on him,' is what God said. The point being, you'll answer to me." And Laban feared what God had said. Now I'm going to finish this section. "And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Now, who took his gods, remember? Rachel. That's his favorite daughter. She stole them away. Not because she was worshiping them, but they were worth the money. She wanted her dowry. So she stole them. She stole them. "Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, 'Because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods,'" this is Jacob speaking, "'whoever you find your gods, do not let them live.'" You better shut up, Jacob. You better hush. You're overspeaking. "In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them." He didn't know it was Rachel. He missed that part. "And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into to the maid's tents, but he did not find them." Now this is another sneaky part. Watch this. "Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent." Now you can just hear the movie now. The music is going. And he walks in. "Now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them." Now watch this. "And Laban searched all about the tent, but he did not find them. And she said to her father, 'Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me.'" Now, you have to read between the lines there, but you get the point. And he searched but did not find the household idols. She was sitting on them. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found?" Answer, none. But remember this, it's going to come to play later on. Hide it somewhere in your little mind up there. Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between both of us. So these 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young. I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn by beast I did not bring to you. That is, I replaced you with good ones. The ones that were killed, I replaced you with yours with good ones. I took the loss. That's what Jacob is saying. I took the loss for you. I bore the loss of it. He just said it. You required from my hand whether stolen by day or stolen by night. In other words, if they were stolen, they belonged to Jacob, according to Laban. Laban was not just your everyday friendly guy. And he was sure not a friendly father-in-law. There I was in the day of the drought and that consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages again 10 times. He says it again. Every time you didn't give me a raise, you ducked me. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely, and he still feared Isaac, by the way, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these, my daughters, or their children, whom I have borne? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." What they're fixing to do is draw a line in the sand. You stay on that side, I'll stay on this side. That's what's about to happen. That's Dick Hill translation. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now let's make a covenant, you and me, and let it be a witness between you. So Jacob took a stone and set it as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. Laban called it, here's Yegar Sahadutha, a witness between us. Now that's the way you pronounce that. That's the way I pronounce it. You get the idea. But Jacob called it Gilead. It really means the same thing. A witness between us. And Laban said, "This heap is the witness between you and me this day." Therefore, its name was called Gilead. Also Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another." Now here's the point. So that we won't kill each other. That's what that's all about. We're drawing ourselves a line in the sand. You're over here. I'm over here. You stay on your side of the line, I'll stay on mine, so that we won't kill each other. "If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." Then Laban said to Jacob, "Here is the heap, and here is the pillar which I have placed between you and me." That's the line drawn in the sand. "This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to harm me." That's what he's saying. "The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of our father, the judge between us," and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread, and they stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. It was a murder thing. I'll shoot. You cross this line, I'm shooting to kill. That's not some spiritual thing going on here. It's a very real, don't cross this line. Because when you do, you're mine. And if you cross over there, you're mine. That's what they're saying. So they don't want to mix with each other anymore. Thank you for what they mean to me and to others. Father, bless them with health. And I pray you especially be with Carol and her situation. And be with that family. Be with Bobby T. And thank you for their friendship. And I pray for our meetings tomorrow at the nursing home and at the hospital. And thank you for our cousin camp. And Father, you know my body is tired, but you also know that it's a good kind of tired. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all.
Isn't it refreshing to know that conniving is Jacob?